My name is McFarlane Job. I go mostly by Mark. That's what most people call me, but I answer all my names. I am an author. I am a lawyer. I am also somebody that does some video podcasting at times. And I am a community person. I love working in communities, helping, organizing, supporting, and just doing the kinds of work that make us appreciate our shared humanity more and help us connect with each other and form relationships that are long lasting, but very supportive to community building. I am here in Nova Scotia. Where I'm from originally, it's a little bit of a complex issue, and part of the reason why I'm here, isn't that right? Most people would say Cameroon. That is where I would identify the territory. I also consider myself as a person from Southern Cameroons, or as otherwise called Ambazonia. And so there is a lot of colonial history there. That is why we have these different appellations. And I may get to that at some point in the interview. But generally, you know, I would say I come from the territory that is referred to as the Cameroons, just so that people know the context. I came to Canada when I was about 22 years old. That whole story and experience of my travel to Canada is the subject of a work that I'm working on, including my previous work. But if you were to read my book, Stronger, Its Steps to Evict Stagnation, you would have some little sense of my experience coming to Halifax at 22 years old. So that's where I'm from. Cameroon, or the Cameroons, is a beautiful country with a lot of promise. It is bilingual. One of the only other bilingual countries officially in the world, as Canada is. And so it was a territory that was colonized by the Germans and then later on by the British and the French. And so the conflict or the crisis that is there right now is the subject of some of that colonial history. And so that also forms part of the work that I've been doing in trying to help resolve the ongoing war or conflict that is happening on the territory of the Cameroons since 2016, 5 years and going. And it has been named Africa's most neglected conflict. That is how it has been named. If you ask anybody what they know about Cameroon, they probably tell you about football. They probably tell you some other things, but they probably won't mention the conflict that has been raging on for more than 5 years. And that is why it's dubbed Africa's most neglected conflict. I started to realize quite a lot of injustices around, you know, whether I be in the local territory where I lived, at school. And so I began to take an interest in why this was the case. And as I started to explore, and my parents are both teachers, so I read a lot of books as a young person. And so I was always interested in the abstract, you know, legal, you know, sort of debates, things like that. So I participated in debate club. I was part of debate club growing up. So that definitely pushed me towards law. But more so, particularly, was that there was a particular experience of the elections that had taken place in Cameroon, the presidential elections, and it was followed by violence. And my parents had been members of the opposition, had supported the opposition party in those days. And I remember a lot of chaos and commotion and people trying to hide because, you know, they were afraid of security forces. So all of those things sort of formed my initial interest in, I want to be somebody who's fighting for justice, who's fighting for the rights of people who don't have those rights. And that's how I end up taking an interest in law. I was awarded the Humanitarian Award by the Federal Heads of Prosecutions across Canada. So it's the Federal Public Prosecutions Service. There is all the heads of prosecutions of all the different prosecutions organizations across the country. They award a national award every year. And so I was very fortunate to be awarded the Humanitarian Award. And this award recognizes my steadfast involvement in humanitarian relief, capacity building, and local as well as community support in both Nova Scotia and abroad. So that is the award. But what led to my nomination? I was nominated by my chief, my boss, and you know, I'm proud about that. But she looked at the work that I had been doing in community since when I was in law school and after. I did a lot of volunteer work, some with you, Janvier. We did some volunteer work together, you know, different kinds of work in community here in Nova Scotia, working with homeless communities, you know, other pro bono legal work. You know, whether it's starting other community initiatives, all up into including my work on the conflict in Cameroon, right? I have been involved in that since 2016 when I was in law school. I have been involved in helping finding pathways to resolving the conflict. We have engaged in capacity building with international actors and countries that are seeking to resolve this issue through mediation. And I've been involved in helping you know, some of the parties or stakeholders to the conflict come to certain terms and also working towards a pathway for mediation. So that's a very quick summary of a lot of stuff, but I hope that cuts it. right now, most of my travels involve working with different stakeholders to come up with a framework for negotiations and mediation in the conflict. We have been working at this for long. There's been a few efforts. Some failed because of a number of factors that we can't go into all right now. But, you know, the international community continues to remain very engaged in trying to find a meaningful solution to this conflict. Other actors within the African Union and within the international system remain engaged. One of the actors that remains engaged and has always been engaged in trying to push the parties to find a meaningful permanent solution is Canada. And so Canada has offered, you know, whether it's financing to support other processes that are geared towards finding solutions, or has taken some direct involvement in trying to bring parties together to find meaningful solutions to it. So my travels involve that. We are also learning from other conflict contexts, from Southeast Asia, their self-determination conflicts, how they participated in peace processes, how they moved those peace processes to actually resolving the conflicts. We're learning from the people of Aceh, from the Bangsamoro Islamic people in the Philippines, from Cambodia, from people in Nepal. So I will be traveling to attend a peace practitioners conference, which is taking place in Southeast Asia in Cambodia next week. And 2 days of this workshop is exchanging and learning from other conflict contexts and peace processes and how they arrived at resolving the conflict. And then the other 2 or 3 days of it would be spent workshopping our particular context, the conflict in the Cameroons, and what ways and options we have and how we can use the lessons learned from all the other actors that will be attending the Peace Practitioners Conference to try to channel that into our own peace process that we are looking to put up. So that's my travel. I've been to Geneva, Switzerland on the same missions. And every now and then down to the United States, you know, we've been working with the US Institute for Peace that has provided us with some capacity building and expertise training in this field. Center for Humanitarian Dialogue in Geneva, Switzerland, and several other organizations, the Center for Peace and Conflict Studies, which is in Cambodia, Mediators Beyond Borders, which is in Washington, D.C. So there is a whole array of international stakeholders that we are working with to try to bring this conflict to a lasting, peaceful end. Nova Scotia is great. It's a great province. The communities here are great. The people are great. The diversity, the food, the culture, the heritage, you know, everything. It's almost a little microcosm of Canada itself. And it has a historical context with respect to even the development of Canada. We have huge indigenous communities here. So there's a whole, you know, slew of interesting and attractive things and people and cultures here in Nova Scotia. So it's a great place to be. I've been lucky enough to live all across Nova Scotia. As you said, I met you in Halifax. I started out living in Halifax. I went to school there, worked there for a bit. Then I moved to the South Shore in Yarmouth, where, you know, it's the other end of the province. I worked there for 2.5 years. Some of that time I spent working in Kentville, which is in kind of the central between Halifax and the South Shore. Then now I'm living in Cape Breton, which is the northern end of the province in Sydney, and, you know, working there. And I've also spent time working in Port Hawkesbury, you know, so I feel like I'm a true Nova Scotian, you know, having lived in all the parts around the province. And I mean, there is no one way to welcome new immigrants here. You know, Nova Scotia is very welcoming. You know, there are so many new immigrants moving here from all across Africa. It's because of that family context, that people context that Nova Scotia has. You know, you're in Halifax, you know, people smile at you on the street. You know, people are very polite and kind, and people are always ready to help. You know, community, again, there's a lot of community spirit in this province. So that in itself is welcoming. We do have a lot of immigrant networks that can welcome people. Even within government, we have one called the New Immigrant Network within government. That's for government employees who are new immigrants. You know, in communities, we have a lot of other organizations, whether they be local to a country or they be general, just in representing or welcoming and advocating for immigrants. So I encourage people who want to come to Canada to look into Nova Scotia. It's a great place. I say, and I may be a little bit biased, haven't lived in other parts of Canada, which I really liked also. I would say that for me as a parent, you know, this is the best place raising kids. Again, it's got that home feel. It's not too big. It's not too small. You know, and it's got everything you need. Family is certainly a big priority in this province, in the communities here. People are very family oriented. So what better place to raise a family than in Nova Scotia? But if you want me to particularize, I'll probably say Cape Breton. You know, I'd say Cape Breton is a great place to raise a family. I mean, Halifax is the same thing. I raised, you know, our two kids were born, you know, raised in Halifax partially. But I'd say everywhere in Nova Scotia is great. But I'm a little bit biased towards Cape Breton. Let's put it that way.